You may be seated. Now, there are numerous godly mothers that are mentioned in the Bible. Timothy had a godly mother named Eunice. Hannah was a godly mother to Samuel. Elizabeth, Mother John the Baptist. And Mary was entrusted with the Christ child. And then you have Jochebed. She brought up Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Three influential figures in the history of the Jews. Now, the story of Moses is one that still interests us today. And once it is heard, it is not soon forgotten. He came into the world with the sentence of death hanging over him. For Pharaoh had declared that all the male children born to the enslaved Israelites should die. Yet the mother of Moses defied the ruler of Egypt's law and determined her boy would live. It was a battle between might and right, and she was going to do right by her son. The Jews were slaves. They were forced to work in the brickyards or in the fields. Their lives were made bitter by hard bondage as they served their masters with rigor. For 3 months, Jochebed hid Moses, possibly finding a new hiding place every few days. Now, this must have been a difficult task, for babies are in need of much attention. I can imagine that Jochebed gave up much sleep, and she did without any needful rest. As she prepared this ark, she would put Moses in to save her son and take care of her healthy growing boy. Maybe God gave Jochebed the plan and how her boy would be spared from death as she went to the Lord in prayer. Then she would carefully pick out the material for the ark that she would build for Moses. As she wove that ark that would be placed in the Nile, she worked skillfully. She prayed fervently, and she wept often. She waterproofed that ark with pitch and made sure that any and all leaks were completely sealed. If mothers today would only exercise the same care over their little ones, overseeing the company their children keep, the places where their children go, what they watch on TV, what they look at on the internet, what music they listen to, then perhaps there wouldn't be so many juvenile delinquents, the need for so many prisons, and so many ne'er-do-wells in our society. When her task of building the ark was complete, she must have been grateful that at last the work was done and it was able to carry its precious cargo, a treasure more valuable than the jewel-laden crown that Pharaoh wore. That night before, she would place the ark in the river. Others in the hole may have slept soundly, but not Jochebed. She held her boy tight, sang sweet lullabies, kissed him too many times to count, and prayed that God would shield and protect her boy. And she would pray and pray that God would bless the work she had done and about what she was about to do. At dawn, she held him tight, loved on him one more time before placing him in the ark. There, down at the river, she hid him amongst the reeds and bulrushes. Then with a broken heart, she left, instructed Miriam to stand by and watch what would take place. Jochebed had done her best, and she trusted that the Lord would not fail her or her prayers that she made to him on behalf of Moses. Even though the situation was bleak, she found comfort in the fact that the God she served could do what she could not. She knew God would help her some way, somehow. But I don't think she ever dreamed that the help would come from the daughter of the man who ordered the death of all the newborn baby Hebrew boys. It was no harder for God to send the Egyptian princess to Moses' way than for Jochebed to show love for her son, which seemed like something impossible for her, came rather easy for the one who is able to do the impossible and make sure that all things happen for our good. Pharaoh's daughter came down to the water to bathe, and the ark was discovered. One of her maids was sent forth to fetch it. Moses' guardian angel must have been kept busy by keeping the crocodiles away and making sure the baby would stay afloat. He even pinched Moses when Pharaoh's daughter looked to see what was inside. And then that baby Moses was kicking up his heels, sucking his thumb, and tears rolling down his cheeks. The princess had compassion on the little fella. And his sister comes to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women? She may nurse their child for thee." The princess said, "Go." And I can see this young girl running down a hot, dusty trail, yelling for her mom. And Jochebed must have heard her from afar off. And when she was told what took place, no doubt she looked toward heaven and praised the one from whom all blessings flow, and said to herself, "Feet don't fail me now." And once she was in the presence of Pharaoh's daughter, she put Moses back into her mother's arms with the promise of being paid Egyptian gold to take care of her own baby. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. For the future deliverer of the Jews was being raised up in his formative years by his own mother on Pharaoh's dime under the protection of his daughter. I expect to see Moses' mother in heaven. And I just may ask what she got paid. And what did the princess of Egypt provide for her boy? I believe he was well taken care of. And Jochebed's long hours she put in, hiding her son, making the ark, her many tears, and the prayers she offered up were answered. Must have made her heart overflow with joy as she held Moses once again. This mother of Moses was made of some remarkable character. Everything was against her, but she would not give up on her child. She was as brave as they come when it came to the safety of Moses. If parents had as much concern for their children as she did for Moses, we wouldn't be talking about so many prodigals. We wouldn't see so many hearts of mothers and fathers being grieved over what their child has become. Look at her work. It's the greatest work in the world. Its importance cannot be underestimated. As a mother molds hearts and lives and shapes the characters of those little ones that are a gift to her from God Himself. If you want to find greatness, you won't find it in some CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It's not in some ruler of a nation, not some great athlete, not in a general that leads a great army. And it's not found in one who is a powerful preacher. It is in the one whose hand rocks the cradle. The work of raising children is so important that the Lord will not trust anyone but a mother with it. God wants all children to get the right start. And mothers, you are the best ones on earth to take care of that task. So do it well. Put in the effort. Pray for them. Be a godly example. Cherish, protect, and treasure them. Give them a great start in life. Teach them about the Lord. Take them to church. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have a great need for godly mothers. For godly mothers will bring up godly children that don't contribute to the perversity of this world in which we live. So teach a child to love the truth. Teach your children to hate a lie. Teach them to love purity and hate immorality. Point them to Jesus. Don't promote the latest trends. Whether you realize it or not, you set in motions. Influence is either bless or blight society in which we live. There is power in your words, power in your actions. That power will either touch heaven or hell. So choose your work and your deeds wisely, for the impact you have on your children is tremendous. Pray tell me, where did Moses get his faith? Where did he get the idea of identifying himself with God's people? Where did Moses get the backbone to leave the treasures of Egypt behind and refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? I believe it all came from his godly mother, Jochebed. Mothers are more powerful than they realize. You see, they can inspire, give hope, courage, and ambition to their children. They can pass on the faith, point them to Jesus, and prepare them to live godly in this corrupt world. There is power in a mother's love. So love your child. Be patient with them. Spend much time with them. And look upon them as blessings from God. Always have their best interest in mind. Discipline them often. Show them affection. Tell them you are glad that they are part of your family and they are your child. Every child is put into his mother's arms as a trust from God. And she'll have to answer to God for the way she deals with her children. No mother has the right to rear her child as she sees fit. For those children were put in your arms to train for the Lord. One of the worst sins a mother can commit is to be unfaithful to the trust that they were given by God. That jewel you gave birth to, it belongs to God. And he gives it to you to make it shine for him. Take this child away and nurse it for me. Now that's what Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed. 'Tis certain she got paid by Pharaoh's daughter. But does not God's pay, is it not far better wages when he brings those children to you? Does he not pay you in joy? Does he not pay you for a job well done? As your children rise up and call you blessed? If you're going to be a mother worthy of honor like Jochebed, let me give you six things that every good mother will possess. Number one, be a mother who has a Savior. Be a mother who has a Savior. Somewhere, somehow, Jochebed got saved. She, by faith, put her faith in a Savior to come, and God bestowed his grace upon her. She didn't have a copy of the written word like we do today. But maybe she was told about the fall of Adam and Eve and how they became sinners and how the Lord judged them for their transgression and then gave them a promise of a Savior that would be the seed of the woman. And she believed in the one who was born a man without a man being involved. Maybe she heard the story of Cain and Abel and put her faith in the shed blood of the lamb and was washed white in its crimson flow. Or perhaps she saw in the ark that Noah built, a picture of the Savior who would save one and all from the judgment of God to come and enter in by the means of him who is a door. And it could have been she heard of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah when it was told her that Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And she received the Lamb of God who would die and be raised back to life. This much we know. She, like Abraham, believed the promises of God about a Savior and was made righteous. And every good mother must know the Savior. Number two, every good mother needs a church. Every good mother needs a church. Now, I have to think Jochebed wasn't a lone ranger. She was an alone believer. I believe she regularly met with others of like faith and practice. For when Moses spoke to Pharaoh, he talked about the people doing sacrifice unto the Lord. Oh, every mother needs a church. A place where the word of God is preached and taught. Where she and her family attend faithfully. Where they learn to put in practice what they hear. Where they fellowship with those of like precious faith. And after a hard week, they get the wrinkles of life smoothed out. Where they are strengthened for the week ahead. And their family are schooled in the things of God. Mothers make much of the Savior. Mothers make much of the church. Then number three, every good mother needs a Bible. Every good mother needs a Bible. Jochebed could only rely on what was verbally passed on to her. She didn't have our divine library of 66 books. Yet with her limited amount of the Word of God, she did mighty well in passing on that truth to her children. Mothers, treasure your Bibles. Esteem it more than your necessary food. Read it daily. Read it thoroughly and throughly. Become familiar with all of its contents. Pray over it. Let it read you. And pass its truth on to your children. Believe it. Don't ever doubt it. Don't ever dispute it. Don't disparage it one iota. Cherish it. Be challenged by it. And have your life changed. Believe it's as relevant today as it was in eternity past. Believe in honesty, purity, hard work, truthfulness, kindness, love, and a heaven for the saved and a hell for the lost. Know the book, but better yet, live it by being the Christian mother and wife God says you are to be. You should be the best preacher your children have ever heard. Number four, every godly mother should pray. Well, nothing is said about Jochebed's prayer life. Can any one of us doubt that she wasn't one who prayed and prayed often? Or was one who didn't have God's ear? She was a woman who knew what it was like to be in touch with heaven. Mothers, you know all too well that life is hard. You need God's help. And prayer puts you in contact with the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Prayer will change things. It can move mountains. It can supply our every need. Many of today's mothers are mighty busy. And the sad thing is, some will say they're too busy to pray. But I say that life would be so much sweeter and better, and they would get a whole lot more done if they just took some time each day to talk with the Lord. Prayer is the cure for your worry. It'll give you wisdom that you need and the guidance that you seek. Mothers, I implore you to pray for your husbands, pray for your children, and pray that you would be the influence for God and for good that your children need. Number five, every believing mother should give themselves wholeheartedly to the task of rearing their children for the Lord. You say, well, preacher, are you against daycare? I'm all for mommy care. You say, would you ever have a daycare here? Not at all. I believe God gave children to mothers, and those mothers are to rear their children and not somebody else. The biggest, most important task a mother has is that of rearing her children. And believe me, I've heard the excuse, well, it takes two incomes. No, it don't! My family and I only had one income. My son and his family only have one income. You can make it. You don't need a new car. You don't need new carpet. You don't need a bigger house. Your children ought to be more important than that. Rear your children. Rear them up properly before sending them out of the home and into the world. Train them to live godly Christian lives. This is what Jochebed did. She sacrificed for her children. She lost some sleep over them. She did without, but she gave to her nation. Aaron's the first high priest. Miriam, a prophetess, a leader amongst the women of Israel. And Moses, who happened to be a friend of God, the lawgiver, a very type of Jesus Christ. She put her best into her children. She put her faith into her children and was successful in the task of rearing her children for the Lord. All because it was her priority in life. She wasn't interested in breaking some glass ceiling. She wasn't interested in becoming a CEO. She wanted to be a mother, the highest calling God could ever grant a woman. She was not some busybody involved in other people's affairs. She was not trying to keep up with the Joneses. She did not idle away her time watching Oprah or The View and eating chocolate bonbons, laying on the couch. Nor was she one consumed with herself, that she looked upon her children as nothing but a nuisance and a hindrance. Mothers, those children God gave you are to be raised for Him. They are a blessing to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have an instruction book on how this task is to be done. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, you know, God, you get children, but there's no instruction book on it. Really? Why don't you get a Bible? Why don't you read what it says? Why don't you perform your task and obey what thus saith the Lord? You have an instruction book, and it contains all the counsel you will ever need to fulfill the work of your great undertaking. If Jochebed could do it in difficult times that she lived in, there is no reason why it can't be done today. Number six, mothers need to have hope. I believe Jochebed hoped her children would grow up to be godly. She wasn't rearing them up to be famous. Didn't rear them up to be great in the nation of Israel, even though that's what they became. I would like to think, if I asked any mother here, what would you like for your children to be when they grow up? I would hope the reply would be, I would be satisfied if they turned out to be godly men and women who would live for the Lord. No Christian mother should hope their children make a name for themselves in this world, but they should hope their children make much of the name above all names. Moms, like Jochebed, need a Savior. You need a church. You need the fellowship of the saints. You need a Bible so you can practice its teachings. You need to be a mother who prays, gives herself to the task of raising up your children, and have hope that they will live as to honor the Lord. Listen, every now and then I come across people and I ask how their children are doing, and they tell me, oh, they're doing great. They got a good job, good pay. They live in a nice house, drive a nice car, wear nice clothes. And I think to myself, then I ask. You say, man, you ask too many questions. But this is what I ask them then, after they go on and on about their positions and all this stuff. I said, well, are they in church? Do they have a walk with the Lord? Does He have preeminence in their life? What's their marriage like? What's their home family like? And all of a sudden I get nothing but crickets. And I said, and you tell me they're doing good? I think that's shameful. No godly mother would want that. They want their children to be brought up and live for the Lord. Even if that means they're just a janitor in a high school. Nothing wrong with that at all. I'd rather have that than someone who's highly successful and rich who no longer walks with the Lord. Unbelievable what people think successful motherhood is, isn't it? But you know what? If you are a mother and you have a child that's living for the Lord and blessed and has a family and rearing their children up, you're the one who gets highly praised, aren't you? Hey, and guess what? Mother's Day just doesn't happen one day a year. It's every day. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.